Okay, so I was listening to another podcast this week, which I don't. Hey,
are you like unfaithful to our
podcast? No, I don't like. I don't really listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of audiobooks, but every once in a while, I'm just in like. There's probably a lot of people out there that feel this way, but I think because of COVID, I'm tired of music, which is not normally a thing that I feel, but like, I feel like I've.
Your COVID apathy has just made you shut down music.
I've listened to all the music. That's how I feel right now. I don't know what else is out there.
Right.
I love music, but I've been listening to a lot of books, and every once in a while I'll flip over to a podcast or something, and I was listening to one the other day, and they had commercials, and we don't. Is that good or bad?
Well, it's good for our listeners that they don't have to like hit that fast forward 15-second button four times.
Yeah.
For like, we'll finish that after the break. But so that's good for our listeners. It's bad for us because that's how podcasts generate money.
Well, I was just like, I just thought, if we're not going to make money, which I don't think either of us really care about with this.
No.
We'd get like $2 probably from the amount of listeners.
Yeah, right? Like if we had like a local business advertise on this podcast.
John H. Coleman, HVAC. No, I just thought.
Come to Barrios.
Come to Barrios and get your taco. I just thought it would be. I think we need to make our own commercials. That's how I thought.
Well, I feel like
I feel like we're robbing our listeners of commercials.
I feel like our lack of advertisers are robbing us from that sweet, sweet podcast cash that we could be
getting. Yeah, that's why we do this.
Do you think that like Rob and Austin could convince Justin Bailey to advertise on this podcast?
Oh, definitely.
Do you think Justin Bailey listens to this show?
Definitely not. There's no way. What if we get a text from him? But I just thought, if we were going to make a commercial, what would it be about? If you were going to make a commercial for this, what would it be about?
What I would say is that we probably already have given away a lot of free advertising on this show in the sense that like whenever, if you ever talk about something that you like, you talk about it like it's the greatest thing that's ever happened. So like you give even better advertising than those people would have like written an ad, you know? So like whenever you talk about that block of restaurants in Oak Ridge that you're like, it's the greatest block of food in East Tennessee.
It's true. And they just added a new restaurant. Just Gallo Loco
to Big Ed's to Soup Kitchen to New China Palace.
Magic Walk, Barrios, Razzleberry's. Right. Literally, it's like
Dean's.
Oh my goodness. Maddie and I eat at Dean's like twice a week. If you haven't gone to Dean's and you live in the Oak
it's
Ridge area.
Right now.
I'm serious though.
They're not giving us anything.
Well, they don't need to. I give them my money.
The only thing they give us is a little too much salt on things.
Oh, you can keep that opinion to yourself there, mister.
I love Dean's. I'm just playing.
I love Dean's. We saw each other there a week ago.
We did.
I mean, seriously, think about how awesome Gallo Loco is.
It is. I'm saying this is happening in real time. We're just giving away the free ad time.
Yeah, we should. And we should give them our money. I want them to exist.
That's the opposite of the way advertising works on podcasts.
As the marketing director of a company. I'm just kidding. If my boss heard me say the phrase marketing director,
yeah,
I'd probably get a pay cut and a demotion. Because that is not my title. If I give you a business card right now, it would just say the word marketing on there. But every once in a while, I'll slip it in during a conversation, like across my boss. Like,
yeah.
Hey, like if I introduce myself to someone, hey, I'm Thomas, I'm in charge of marketing. Or like, hey, I'm the marketing department. Hey, I'm the director of marketing. That's what I'll do. He's never corrected
me. Assistant to the regional director.
Yeah, he's never corrected me. He's also never given me a pay raise. So it's very obvious that it's not my title.
Now we know why. What would you advertise if you were going to do an ad on this show?
Back to the original question. What would I advertise?
Yeah. Honestly, I'm gonna interrupt you and cut across right after I ask that. I think after my experience on Saturday, I would probably advertise four-wheelers.
Mm.
That was the funnest thing I've done in a long time.
Lee rode his first four-wheeler on Saturday.
It wasn't my first.
It was the first time. I've never seen so much joy in a grown man's face. It was unbelievable. Because there was a moment, you don't know about this yet, But first of all, the first time Lee jumped on it, he did a massive wheelie and almost ran me over. It was
with Joe, almost killed me and Joe.
Yeah, it was very terrifying. But I wasn't at that point. We were 8 hours into a 90 degree day work job, and I didn't move very fast, and I didn't really pay attention that a four wheeler was charging me like a bull. So I didn't really move. I almost died. But then like two seconds later, Joe and I were standing in the woods, and he goes, I didn't consider the fact that he may have never ridden one of those. I missed the moment on his face, and that's usually one of the best moments in the world. And I was just like, you're right. Because I did see your face, and it was like...
It was pure seven-year-old joy.
Yeah, it was a seven-year-old on Christmas morning. I've never seen anything like it.
Do you think Joe listens to this podcast?
I really don't know.
Anyway, like when I was a little kid, I was probably 10 or 11, and we were visiting my dad's family in way out in West Tennessee, Jackson, Tennessee. We were at my dad's like childhood home, and they have a ton of acreage behind the house, all these trails they've cut through the woods down to this pond where they stock and they fish and everything. And my little cousin and I got on this four-wheeler, and we're just riding around the trails and everything, and my cousin's sitting behind me and I'm driving it. And there's one part where the trail kind of goes up this little hill right by the edge of the water, but there was a really knotty tree with like a lot of roots sticking really high.
Was he just like always picking on the other trees? Is that why he was so naughty?
I can't believe that just happened. You just went full Len Cox.
That was honestly the first thing that popped in my head.
Which is weird because anyway. I'm not going to get into that, but the K-N-O-T-T-Y, like all these big, like knotty roots sticking out of the trail. Anyway, I'm going up a hill. All the roots are kicking the handlebars left and right. And like, I goosed it right as I hit this root that kicked the handlebars off to the right. And we literally just leapt into the air and landed in the pond.
That's amazing. Did the four-wheeler go in with you?
Oh, yeah. We just woo and then splash. And then when the water settled back down, it settled over the handlebars. We were both just still sitting on it, water over our hands.
That's amazing.
We just had to walk back to the house in shame.
Oh, my word.
And my uncle had to drag it out of the pond with his truck.
Oh, they're so fun.
So that was, yeah, but that's what I would advertise. That was so much fun. And there was just this moment, Joe was driving and you and I were both sitting on the back just to keep the weight because we were hauling these logs up into the woods behind my house. And I did. I felt like a seven-year-old kid. I was like, this is the funnest thing I've done in who knows how long.
It's so fun, man. I would give any weeknight to ride in a four-wheeler. I think it's so fun.
It is. Welcome to Ancient and New, where we would gladly advertise four-wheelers for free. Normally, though, it's a Bible study podcast. Right?
Yeah. Sorry.
You have a scripture you want to talk about today? Would you like to kick us off?
Yeah. Why not? This is fun. I read this morning, and it was kind of cool because you have a song written from this psalm, which is always fun because that's what they're intended to be. But we don't really know the tunes that they would be, you know?
That's why it's fun to come up with a new one. That's,
like, that works. I almost, yesterday I was reading a psalm, and it was, I think it was Psalm 45. Yeah, it said to the tune of Lilies, or one of the things says Lily of the Valley or something like that. And I almost hollered at Maddie and said, like, hey, do you know the song Lily of the Valley? And see, like, it would have just been funny if she's like, actually, yeah. I don't know. I'm just joking. But anyways, I read this morning and it was cool because I instantly started singing it. But
where are you?
Psalm 46. Oh. But the thing that stood out to me was one line, which happens to be the chorus of that song. Just one verse from this stood out to me. And it says, he says, be still and know that I am God. That was it. This morning, that was the thing that caught me. And it was for a few reasons. One of them, it just tells you exactly what to do. Be still. And then know that I am God. So it was cool to like, okay, I'm going to practice this. What if I, in the middle of my reading this morning and and worshiping the Lord, what if my response to this is to actually just do that for 5 minutes? I'm just going to drop my pen. I'm going to not do anything else but sit there and think about this, and just the idea of knowing that God is God. And then within that, a few things unraveled and just unpacked. I don't know if you've ever taken time to literally meditate on some scripture and just chew it and think about it and toss it around from the left side of your brain to the right side of your brain. That's literally what I imagine when I'm thinking about stuff, is they're just like tossing it back and forth.
Your brain is like two people playing ping pong.
Yeah, pretty much. It's so weird. I
like really slowly.
Last night we were, Devo literally, never mind. I'm not even going to talk about that when he, yeah. But I was just chewing on this and thinking about it. The idea of knowing, of being still and knowing that he is God. Okay. What does that mean? And like, I just started packing it and peeling it apart. Like the first thing that popped in my head was, I am not God.
Right.
You know, you're just like, well, duh. But then if you start thinking about that, it's like, okay, there's a lot less responsibility on me now. I'm not in charge of a lot of things that I like to think I'm in charge of. I have a lot less worries all of a sudden, and a lot less fears all of a sudden, because there's a lot of things in this world I can't control that I want to.
Yeah.
And people and things that happen and like all that. And you just unravel it and you just take a second and you think, okay, if God is God, then I am not. Therefore, he's in charge, which I just thought was so cool. It just like popped into my head and it made me feel a lot lighter all of a sudden, which was really cool. And then there's this amazing thing that's inlaid in this psalm, and you kind of have to read through the whole thing to get it, but there's a lot of things in here that say who God is. Like if you, it literally would say God is blank, 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 and you could interject them in there, and it's so cool. Verse one of this says, God is our refuge and strength, and then it says an ever-present help in trouble, which is such a cool thing. You could sit there and say to yourself, be still and know that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble.
That's good.
Such a cool thing. And then you go down further and it says, the God of Jacob is our fortress. It's so cool. And then you could think about, is with us. There's even more like things he does. He makes war cease. He ends the earth, to the ends of the earth. He will end the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Like, he destroys all parts of war. He can pick them apart and end them whenever he wants to. He can snap weapons in half with his fingertips. It's so cool. And then it ends with saying, the God of Jacob is our fortress. He's with us. The Lord Almighty is with us. And there's just so many ways you can break that down and just think about it. It was super helpful and encouraging for me today to just take 5 minutes and be still and think about all the things the Lord is. And that was just in that psalm. You know, you could make a thing on a piece of paper, like a diagram, and write down all the places in scripture that talks about who the Lord is and how he is and what he does. And if you just took 10 minutes and thought about that, oh, it's so encouraging and so helpful. It made my day like, oh, okay. This is a little easier today. I have a lot less stress on myself today.
I like the idea that what you're doing when you read that is a prep for something later. I think about you as an athlete, and we both played sports as kids and in high school and stuff, and like so much of the things that you do in practice are like heaps of repetition of fundamental motions so that you don't have to think about them later. Think about the time that you took my little kids to a ballpark and you took them through like fundamentals of like, when a ground ball comes at you, this is immediately what your glove does, you know? And they talked about that the other day. They were like, remember when that one summer when we would go to the Jefferson, you know, middle school ballpark with Thomas, and he would teach us how to field ground balls. You know, like they remembered that thing. It was just like, when the ball's rolling, immediately your glove goes to the ground like this and your opposite hand is going up, you know, and they like remember that motion because you had them do it a lot. But like, we have that experience in having played sports where you just, you take certain fundamental actions, you do them so many times in a moment where you're not in the heat of a game, so that when you are in the heat of a game, your body just knows how to do it.
Right.
I like the idea of you doing this on purpose in your time with the Lord, that this is time that you've carved out. This is time where not a lot of stressful things are breaking your door down or anything like that. You're not in the middle of a, you know, somebody at work that drives you crazy or anything like that. And you're getting the practice in so the next time something happens that is really freaky, that you know what to do, which is, what I need to do is be still. Mm. And I need to call to mind who the Lord is. Mm. And because otherwise I'm going to try to solve this problem on my own automatically.
Right.
I'm going to start trying to think of like my strategies and my wisdom and my whatever you were saying, like responsibilities and stuff like that. I just like the idea of you, like you said, like you physically, I'm going to set the pen down and I'm not going to write anything. I'm going to take a minute and meditate. And then you had that weird analogy about mental ping pong. But I love the rest of that of just
mental
like,
ping pong.
I love the rest of that of like, just doing that intentionally.
Right.
That's cool. I hadn't thought of it like that, but it is, I mean, that is why you practice things, because then they become so routine that you don't think about them. I think that's awesome.
That I also reminds me of the four wheeler, because when I did pop that wheelie and almost kill me and Joe, he goes, forgot to tell you that that throttle's pretty hair trigger. So he said, I just kind of forgot. I'm so used to doing it.
Yeah,
I probably mashed it down pretty hard.
You probably gave it a little. You goosed it a little bit. Gave it a little gas.
Luckily, it didn't end up in a pond. I'm just gonna turn the page back a few pages to
the thing.
Yeah,
I had the mic way away from me though. Maybe no one heard that.
Yeah, just a huge yawn.
Right when you started to talk.
When I started to talk.
Yikes.
It's like a meme of the show. Psalm 36. Psalm 36 is a beautiful thing, but there's this passage in there starting in verse 7 where David says, "How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light." I think not only is that like poetic and rich and beautiful and appealing on so many levels, but I think the thing that I was connecting with is that every stupid thing I've ever done in my life and every regret I've had and has come from me looking for one of these things somewhere else besides from the Lord.
Yeah.
Like I was looking for love that wasn't from Him. I was looking for safety that wasn't from Him. I was looking for pleasures and delights that weren't from Him. I was looking for life. I was looking for illumination, light. I was trying to find something that I can only find in my walk with Jesus, other places. And the thing that He's been trying to tell me, and also like He's been trying to tell me in the fact that those things did turn into regrets and they did turn into really crappy situations, and they were flimsy and pointless or just hurtful or whatever, is like, I feel like He's been trying to tell me my whole life, like, you want a river of delights. You want life. You want to understand things. You want light and illumination. You want, like, you want all this stuff. I would gladly give them to you.
Yeah,
I would, not only would I give you pleasure, like it's, I think when I was growing up, my understanding of My understanding of our religion was do everything you're supposed to, and everybody that's righteous doesn't have a smile on their face, but they have their tie, like, you know, the shirt's all the way buttoned up. The tie is very tight, yeah. And the shoes are uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And like, and you just have to sit in this hard pew and listen to this thing that's going on too long. It's very boring. Yeah. You know, it's just like our religion was boring. It was uncool. And you better like it, you know, mm-hmm. that way. So the idea that Jesus would say, like, no, not only do I want to satisfy your longing for pleasure, but it's going to be a river of delights. Like one, it's just going to keep flowing and light and life and all of those like priceless, unfailing love, a feast on the abundance. I didn't think our religion had feasting or abundance. Yeah. I thought it was like you get water and you get what you get and you don't pitch a fit.
Yeah.
You know,
and a cracker and a little thing of grape juice like once a quarter.
Unless it's those all included communion cups that
we never had those.
We gave those to people about 2 months ago, yeah. At our outside worship service in the park, and they were horrible.
I bet they were terrible. We always had the tiny, like the ones we have at our church, yeah. You can get different size pieces.
Yeah.
But we had the one that was the tiniest little square.
The little, it looked like a chiclet, but made out of bread.
Yeah, yeah. So you're like, sweet, this is going to be this gum that lasts about 12 seconds. And then it's like, no, this is the worst saltine cracker ever.
And it's like if somebody made a saltine cracker for a mouse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like if a mouse held it in its hand, it would be the size of a saltine cracker, yeah, for us.
That's exactly right. Well, I've never thought of that before. The thing that you said that I absolutely loved is the idea that I'm allowed to want something.
There it is.
And none of them are bad things. You know, they're so cool. The idea of, one, that God wants me to want things, and that they're all really awesome things, and that he'll provide them. Because, I mean, you were getting at this, but the idea that I was allowed to want something as a kid didn't feel, and even today, it's, yeah, like, this doesn't feel right that I'm allowed to desire unfailing love. I'm allowed to desire refuge and safety, because like you're saying, those are all, I don't know where they fall in the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but they all feel super important.
Yeah.
And they all feel super necessary, but it doesn't feel like I'm allowed to feel them a lot of times, which is so bizarre to say out loud.
Yeah, I think the picture I got as a kid was that our religion was more in line with Buddhism, which I didn't know anything about Buddhism. Right.
Now that you know about Buddhism, yeah, it's like, that's what I was taught.
Right, when I was in college and you learned about Buddhism, it was like, oh, well, their whole thing is that the problem with the world is desire. If nobody had any desires, then there would be no hunger, there would be no war, there would be no... If everybody was just... just a drop in the ocean mentally and emotionally. I don't need anything. And it's like, but what Jesus...
I don't even know how that happened.
You just dropped your phone so loudly. I don't even know how that came across to the mics. But what Jesus says is like, no, that is not a thing. You are a human being. You have lots of needs. And like, not just needs for like, food and stuff like that, but you also have this desire that food be delicious. Mm. It's not just that you need calories so that your cells can perform mitosis. It's like you also want food that you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like Christy made this food yesterday. When I walked into the house, the smell hit me and I was like, I am instantaneously the happiest.
What did
person.
She make? How come I never get these things?
Oh my gosh, it was so good. It was, she made these fried chicken tenders and gravy and like, and we had this awesome salad and like, it was just a really wonderful meal that like smelled as good as it tasted. And that Jesus would be like, come feast on the abundance of my house.
That's so cool.
That's our religion. The gospel is better. It's just so much. It's like, not only does he save you, but he saves you so that he can just give you, just get like, come and get gifts, you know, come, there's a river of delights and you're invited. You know, Thomas is yawning again.
Dang it. I didn't realize I was doing it. That's cool.
Yeah.
I hope this is helpful for somebody out there.
Yeah, it was helpful for me to think about it. And
at the bare minimum, I'm more encouraged today, which is a good thing, because I have to go direct a marketing department.
Clearly, that's your role.
Yeah,
I don't. Do you think your boss listens to this podcast and will further demote you as a result of hearing it?
No, but like the thing I found out in my company is everyone knows everything. And yesterday I ran into the CEO of the company. Mm-hmm. And yeah, no, I can't even, I'm not even allowed to say it on here, but it was just funny. He knew something about me and it was like, oh, things get around. So like, it wouldn't surprise me if like someone within the company somewhere heard about this podcast somehow. And then
yeah, it ended up in my boss's hands. But the CEO knew about you, like that's going to be a classic story at that company for decades.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so funny that it happened to you, but like, it's, it's just a classic T. Cox thing that is just going to be like the Christmas party story that people tell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Around like the cheese plate for like 12 years.
Remember that time that millennial left here for a day and then had his job back
and then begged to get him. This brioche is good. It's like, oh
what
my
what was God. That millennial's name that we heard that one time?
I think his name was Tyler.
Remember that time Tyler took a high school teaching job for one day
that he didn't even know the subject or have a degree in teaching?
And his boss was out sick, so he called him to quit, and then he called him to ask for his job back.
Pass me one of those
crackers. So many people are listening to this, and they're like, what in the world is he talking about?
So much fun.
So silly.
Oh. My name's Tyler.
I can't even. That's the first time that phrase has been used in this podcast. Goodbye, everybody.
Oh, thanks for listening to the Millennial Podcast, Ancient Man.